Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 4. Confession. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Proverbs 28:13. The conditions of obtaining mercy of God are simple and just and reasonable. The Lord does not require us to do some grievous thing in order that we may have the forgiveness of sin. We need not make long and wearisome pilgrimages, or perform painful penances, to commend our souls to the God of heaven, or to expiate our transgression. But he that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. The Apostle says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed." James 5:16. Confess your sins to God, who only can forgive them, and your faults to one another. If you have given offense to your friend or neighbor, you are to acknowledge your wrong, and it is his duty to freely forgive you. Then you are to seek the forgiveness of God, because the brother you have wounded is the property of God, and in injuring him, you sinned against his Creator and Redeemer. The case is brought before the only true mediator, our great high priest, who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, and who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and is able to cleanse from every stain of iniquity. Hebrews 4:15. Those who have not humbled their souls before God in acknowledging their guilt have not yet fulfilled the first condition of acceptance. If we have not experienced that repentance which is not to be repented of, and have not with true humiliation of soul and brokenness of spirit confessed our sins, abhorring our iniquity, we have never truly sought for the forgiveness of sin, and if we have never sought, we have never found the peace of God. The only reason we do not have remission of sins that are past is that we are not willing to humble our hearts and comply with the conditions of the word of truth. Explicit instruction is given concerning this matter. Confession of sin, whether public or private, should be heartfelt and freely expressed. It is not to be urged from the sinner. It is not to be made in a flippant and careless way, or forced from those who have no realizing sense of the abhorrent character of sin. The confession that is the outpouring of the inmost soul finds its way to the God of infinite pity. The psalmist says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Psalm 34:18. True confession is always of a specific character, and acknowledges particular sins. They may be of such a nature as to be brought before God only. They may be wrongs that could be confessed to individuals who have suffered injury through them. Or they may be of a public character, and should then be as publicly confessed. But all confession should be definite and to the point, acknowledging the very sins of which you are guilty. In the days of Samuel, the Israelites wandered from God. They were suffering the consequences of sin, for they had lost their faith in God, lost their discernment of His power and wisdom to rule the nation, lost their confidence in His ability to defend and vindicate His cause. They turned from the great ruler of the universe and desired to be governed as were the nations around them. Before they found peace, they made this definite confession: "We have added unto all our sins this evil, to ask us a king." 1 Samuel 12:19. The very sin of which they were convicted had to be confessed. Their ingratitude oppressed their souls and severed them from God. Confession will not be acceptable to God without sincere repentance and reformation. There must be decided changes in the life. Everything offensive to God must be put away. This will be the result of genuine sorrow for sin. The work that we have to do on our part is plainly set before us: wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Isaiah 1:16-17. If the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life, without committing iniquity, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Ezekiel 33:15. Paul says, speaking of the work of repentance, "Ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." 2 Corinthians 7:11. When sin has deadened the moral perceptions, the wrongdoer does not discern the defects of his character, nor realize the enormity of the evil he has committed, and unless he yields to the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, he remains in partial blindness to his sin. His confessions are not sincere and in earnest. To every acknowledgment of his guilt he adds an apology in excuse of his course, declaring that if it had not been...
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I just want to thank God once again for the prayer line. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father, to lift up this prayer line to you, Father, to thank you for the blessing that we stand in need of, blessing us that we can come together to fellowship and worship together. Oh, we are so grateful to your blessing that all our brothers and sisters come and share and just giving you the glory. So now, Father, as we lift it up to you, Father, we ask that you bless this prayer line. We ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to convict and to convert us and to keep us, Father, and that we will understand that the Word of God is kingdom to teach us and lead and guide us. Thank you so much, Father, for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for our Savior. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for your awesome and wonder and all power and your all-knowing. Thank you so much. Bless each and every one of our sisters and brothers that may come on and share and give testimonies of your goodness and what they have and what you have done for them for the Sabbath or all week long. We thank you. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. And brothers and sisters, I want to share from the book of Maranatha. I just would like to just share a little bit of Maranatha, and then I will open my brothers and sisters line as I welcome my brothers and sisters and all that come to share with us. Amen. Give me just a second. My page has turned. And I'm reading April 23rd. April 23rd, it says, the youth, God's instrument. It is good for a man that he hear, that he bear the yoke in his mouth. And that's Lamentation 27. And I just want to read just a little bit of this. And I'm going to, amen. God called young men in the vigor and strength of their youth to share with him self-denial. They accept the call. He will make them his instruments to save souls for whom he died. But he would have them count the cost and enter upon their work with a full knowledge of the condition upon which they serve a crucified Redeemer. And I'd just like to read a little bit more. Our first work should be to bring our own hearts into harmony with God, and then we are prepared to labor for others. In former days, there was great searching of the heart among our earnest workers. They together and united in humble, fervent prayers for divine guidance. Christ's coming is nearer than we believe. Every passing day leaves us one less to proclaim the message of warning to the world. Would that there were today more earnest intercession with God, greater humility and greater purity and greater faith. And I will stop there. I just want to thank God for his word, because as we read the spirit of prophecy, we have learned, we have so much light, we have had so much wisdom in this prophecy. So I just want to thank God for this. And now I want to say welcome my brothers and sisters to Advent Light Ministry. We want to welcome all our brothers everywhere from the other countries, from everywhere in the world, whoever joined this prayer line. And we want to thank you for choosing this prayer line to be able to fellowship and worship. So I will begin to open my brothers and sisters line, asking that if you would press 1, I can begin opening the line for my brothers and sisters. I'm asking that whomever like to share and give their testimony what God has done for you and your family, I'm asking you to press 1 and your line could be open. Amen. We have 518-951. We open in your line. First, you press.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, my dear beloved sister Leola, for opening my line. This is Sister Paula. I feel a little tired, but, you know, God is good. We have to be together, and I'm just here to give thanks to God for his word that you just read a while ago, Sister Leela, but I'm focusing my mind upon Noah. You know, it just came to me, and I just have to share it to my brothers and sisters that Noah was a man well-favored with God, you know, a humble man and chosen man, a man that God had used, and he found favor with Noah. And he told Noah, because of what was happening in the world, call it what is happening now in the world, confusion, my dear sister Leela, killing, murder, children against parents, parents against children. You know, all these things is happening rapidly out of the church, even the church, who, you know, people do not know where to turn to. They are even trying their best to make meat into, with cow dung, into the lab. Lab have been making vegetable food for people. They have been also saying that insects and bugs and all these things they are doing. And we know that God have given us what we should have and what we should take, what we should do. He gave the whole world it, and we saw what man is doing. So it point me, bring me back to Noah, that God found favor in Noah. And because of what was happening in that old time, in those days, with the people, God tell Noah to build that ark. My dear beloved, he was obedient. You know, this is a story that we all heard, but we go deeper into this lesson, this story, and that Noah built the ark, and when he finished, they were mounted, jeering, mounting him whole, call him all different names. But he was a just man. He did not take those names or insult that they do and react, you know. He just do what God told him because he was obedient. And we saw that that ark was finished, completed. And I felt that some of those individuals was there helping him to build that ark, but still they did not see. And what happened, we know the story, that the ark with Noah, our family, my dear beloved, went in, and the animals, and then pour the flood, the rain, the thunder, the lightning, and all the world, you have to say, beside eight people were saved. My dear beloved, I bring this to us that, you know, we did not know, Noah did not know that that was going to happen because he was trying to save some of those. But the Lord said, no, I closed that door and not even Noah could open it. Remember that happened, my dear beloved, and the generation of Noah, all those who were saved with Noah's generation went back and do more evil than the first generation. Although they were saved, his grandchildren, they, you know, they were saved, his family, there were no other one. And they went back and do more great evil thing, you know, on the earth. And what God do when that evil started, they making something higher that if the flood come again, they won't be destroyed. God told them, I will not destroy the earth by water. Again, and they did not believe. And what God have done, God after them confounded their language and scattered them. And that's reason why, you know, we are all have different languages. And just because of sin, you have seen what happened before, and you go and do this, they repeat the same thing. And it's just repeat happening. We know in our days now, my dear beloved on this line, right? We should be the one to have followed the example of Christ. God, Christ warned us. And what we are doing, The same thing is repeating over and over again. Sin is also reaching the Lord right now. Of the things that is happening around us, babies, they are killing babies. There are sexual harassment with even babies, father, you know, mother ill-treat their children, you know, murder, killing, scientists trying to do this. The same thing is repeated. My dear beloved, I just point these little stories, and these are true stories, and these are things that the Lord told us that is going to happen. So my prayer tonight, dear, my dear beloved on this land, let us be faithful. Let us come to the Lord with a sincere and sorry for sin and a repentance of heart transformation, that we have to call upon him and ask him to help us and to have mercy upon us, that we will be able to have the help from him and the strength that we can able to go out as his representative, as he called us, and as his ambassador, and also as his servant. These are the days we are calling the faithful. So we just pray that one day, soon and very soon, all these things that is happening, it will come to an end, because he told us that it's going to come to an end. But let us be ready and prepared. So, my dear beloved, asking you to pray for myself, my family member, or church family, the youth of the land, Advent Light, and also the new evangelism that we are planning in Louisiana, so that the Holy Spirit will pour down, pour out, and that people will come to know him more. Thank you, Sister Leola, and also pray for the project that we are almost at complete, and I'm almost on my last journey here, you know, but I just want to give God thanks. My praise report is that everything is going on good here in Jamaica, and I can say God is good. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line. God bless. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell. And as you were saying, my sister, God is so good that you was able to complete that work there and get it done. And it was such a blessing that God worked in the favor of you and the people, that they was blessed to be able to come together. You see, that was a beautiful work. So we just want to give God on that, because only he is able to provide. And he provided, Sister Powell. People gave that just by listening to you all on the YouTube. And they gave from their heart. You know, it was a miracle. That was a blessing. So we want to thank God for what he did with your work there, and thank God for your life, how you the example for the ones that you try to teach. So thank you so much. God bless. And we're going to continue, brothers and sisters. And if there's anyone else would like to share, Sister Power gave a powerful testimony. And then also she spoke about the mission, the outreach ministry here in Louisiana. That's going to be a great work, sisters and brothers. It's not going to be, it's nothing is easy going out to help people out there that don't know and don't understand. That work is something that we have to love and be able to go do what God asks us to do. So I just want to thank God for that. So I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters to please keep that in prayer. And now I'm asking everyone to press 1 if you like to share. I'm asking my brothers and sisters to press 1 if you like to share. And we waiting on our brothers and sisters if you like to share. But if not, I'm going to read this other little part that I have, because I have no one else that has pressed 1. and waiting until everyone join in, I could read this portion. Amen. So, Sister Power, I'm going to read this portion until our brothers and sisters press one.
Okay.
Amen. So.
Amen. Amen.
And yes, and it says, we have a grand work to do for the Master, to open the word of God to those who are in darkness of error. Young friends, act as though you had a sacred charge. Yes, I was making sure that word was correct. Sacred charge. You should be Bible studying, a Bible student, ever ready to give to every man that asks you a reason of hope that is in you. By your true Christian dignity, give evidence that you know you have a truth, that it is for the interest of the people to hear. If this truth is enwrought in the soul, it will manifest itself in the countenance and the demeanor, in a calm, noble self-possession and peace which the Christian alone can possess. Those who have genuine humility and whose mind have been expanded by the truth unfolded in the gospel will have an influence that will be felt. They will make an impression upon the mind and heart. I have a higher wish than to see our youth imbued with the spirit of pure religion, which will lead them to take up the cross and follow Jesus. Go forth, young disciples, to Christ. Control by principles, clad in robes, in the robe of purity and righteousness. Your Savior will guide you into the position best suited to your talent and where you can be most useful. In the path of duty, you may be sure to receive grace sufficient for you today. Amen. And as I was reading,
amen.
God is preparing him a people, and he will complete this work through anyone that want to be used. Praise God. So we're going to open the line for, give me just a second, that 423-635, we're opening your line. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. Good evening. Thank you for opening up my line. This is Sister Carla. I'm just calling, thanking the Lord for another day, thanking him for his blessing, his mercy. I had a beautiful Sabbath with the brethren and sisters that I went to visit, and I've been helping and assisting this sister. Her husband passed. They had the funeral last Sunday, and I've been helping her. I was there Thursday helping her with garden and other work, and spent the night, and I also went to church with her, picked her up and went to church together, and I stayed over. And it's just been a blessing ministering to her and being there, listening to her, keeping her company, because she's still mourning the loss of her husband that are, the widows, and, just be Christ-like to each and every one I come in contact with. So may the Lord continue to help each and every one of us to walk in the path that he had laid and to do his will, to be obedient, unto him. And just want to read Zechariah chapter 10. It said, "Acts of the Lord reign in the time of latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field. For the idle have spoken vanity, and the diviner have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain Therefore, they went their ways as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Amen. And the Lord anger, verse 33, and anger will kindle against the shepherd, and I punish the goat, for the Lord of hosts had visited his flock, the house of Judea, and had made them as his godly horse in the battle. So may us be as the godly horse, as the servant, as, you know, the disciples of the Lord. So thank you again for opening up my line, Sister Leola.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Carla. And as we were reading, I don't know if you, you know, as we were reading about the youth and God's instrument, it fell right in there how we are studying that God will allow his people, he will, they're ready to go and preach this gospel. We don't have to do it if we don't want, but God will make a way. And I just thank God, because as you was just reading, God says that his people will be fed. So I just want to thank God for the word, for his word. We don't have to do nothing if we don't want to, but God will lead people to do his will if it's not us. Amen. So thank you, Sister Carla,
yes,
for sharing that with us, because most surely, everything, he will work it out.
Can I say one more thing, Cecilia? Okay. Yeah, and I think it's continue with your something with your reading. It says, let us, dear brethren and sisters, crave the suffering, crucifying part of religion, for we are to be purified and fitted for the kingdom through suffering. So many people don't want to go through suffering, or they think it's from the world, not to be like them or to be with them, but we must keep separate from the world. If we would have the love of God abide with us, as soon as we begin to conform to this world, this lost, this sinful world, just so soon God's spirit begin to depart from us. But if we keep humble, live holy, harmless, and separate from sinners, we shall see of the salvation of God. Let us strive to be Christian, Christ-like, in every sense of the word, and let our dress, conversation, and action preach that Christ is formed within the hope of glory, and that we are looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of Jesus. Let us show to those around us that this world is not our home, that we are pilgrims and stranger here.
Amen, amen. What a blessing, what a blessing. God's word is sure, and he will do what he set out to do. Make no mistake. So we want to thank God for that reading, and then also we want to just praise him for his holy name, because Sister Carla, Sister Powell, and brothers and sisters, God is surely coming soon, and we want to make our calling and election sure. So I just want to thank you so much for giving us that. Amen. So we want to open the next line. We got two more that press one, so let me open the next line. We thank you so much, Sister Carla, for sharing. Now we open the line. Brother Eli was next, and your number, 857. 505, your line is open. You can give us your name and where you're
calling. Amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, my brothers and sisters on this prayer line. My name's Brother Eli. I'm calling from Boston, Massachusetts. I'd like to thank God, Sister Viola, for his love and his mercy because God is good. He's merciful. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Viola. And Sister Viola, my dear sister, today is Sister Tamiko's birthday. So please lift up Sister Tamiko in prayer because today is her birthday. So please lift up in prayer. Don't forget to lift up Sister Tamiko's family. Don't forget to lift up every family, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I feel like to sing a song and do a special prayer, Sister Miola, for Sister Kala and everyone on this prayer line. And Brother Rick and Brother O'Neill, let me sing a song, Sister Miola.
Brother Eli.
Yes,
Sister Miola,
you want me to do a prayer or sing?
Yes, we want you to do the prayer, and maybe you can sing later on if we have time. Amen? Just go ahead and do the prayer
for
us, brother.
Amen. You want me to pray then?
Yes, you can go ahead and pray because we got more lines to open. Thank you.
Amen, amen, amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, let us close our eyes. Yes, Lord, God, Heavenly Father, Lord, we magnify your name, God, this moment, Lord. God, how excellent is your name, God. God, you are worthy to be praised, Lord. How excellent is your name, God. God, I want to thank you, God, for the day, Lord. God, I want to thank you, God, for what you have done for all of us, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to strengthen us, Lord. We ask God to cover us, God, with your blood, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola, Lord, who is hosting, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Miola, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to watch over Sister Miola, Lord. We ask God to cover Sister Miola's family, God. God, cover her children, God. Bless Sister Miola's children, Lord. God, we want to thank you, God, for you have done for Sister Miola's family, God, and her children, Lord. God, I want to lift up Sister Miola's husband to you, Lord. We ask God to come bless her husband, Lord. We ask God to watch over him, Lord. We ask God to cover Sister Miola's husband, God, with your righteousness, Lord. We ask God to cover him, Lord. We ask God to deliver him, Lord. God, we ask God, allow him to come on the prayer line, God, to come preach your word, Lord, to come preach the gospel, Lord. God, we ask God to watch over Sister Miola's husband, Lord. God, today is Sister Tamiko's birthday, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Sister Tamiko, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless Sister Tamiko, God, in the Markoy, Lord. We ask God to watch over her, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. God, we ask God to come bless her family, God. God, we want to live up with the Taiwan. We want to live for Sister KTN, Lord. God, we want to live for Sister Dorothy, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Dorothy, Lord. God, we want to lift up an individual, God. God, bless Sister Dorothy. Bless every family, God. God, we want to lift up Brother Rick, God. God, we ask God to come bless Brother Rick, Lord. We ask God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Brother Rick, Lord. God, we ask God to strengthen Brother Rick, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to give Brother Rick, God, the victory, Lord. We ask God to give Brother Rick, God, the strength, God. We ask God to give Brother Rick, God, deliverance, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to strengthen him, Lord. God, you are good for Brother Rick, God. God, you are faithful to him, Lord. Allow him to sing, God, break every chain, God. God, we ask God to watch over Brother Rick, God. God, we want to lift up Brother Rick, some daughter, God, Ashley, Lord. We ask God to change her, Sister Ashley, Lord. We ask God, allow Sister Ashley, God, to be obedient, Lord. We ask God to open her eyes, God. We ask God to strengthen her, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother O'Neill to you, Lord. We ask God to come bless Brother O'Neill, God. We ask God to watch over him, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Brother O'Neill, O'Neill, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, strengthen Brother O'Neill, God. We ask you, God, to touch Brother O'Neill's heart, Lord. We ask you, God, to come deliver Brother O'Neill tonight, Lord. Deliver him, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to cover Brother O'Neill, God, window post, Lord. God, cover Brother O'Neill, God's window, Lord. Cover every door, God. God, we ask you, God, to watch over Brother O'Neill, God. God wants to live our sister Brenda, God, and Brother John, Lord. We ask you, God, to come bless them, Lord. We ask you, God, to watch over them, God. Strengthen them, Lord. God, you're mighty, God. You're the King of Kings. You're the Lord of Lord. God wants to lift our sister Carla to you, Lord. God, we ask you, God, to come bless sister Carla, Lord. We ask you, God, to watch over sister Carla, Lord. Allow her to be the host on Monday too, Lord, for elder Richardson, Lord. Allow her to be the host too, Lord. Sister Carla, Lord, on Mondays too, Lord. God, just like we did the Bible study on Mondays, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, Lord, to allow Sister Carla, Lord, to be obedient, Lord. Allow her to be on the line again, Lord, on Monday, Lord. We ask God to strengthen Sister Carla, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. We ask God to come bless Sister Carla, Lord. We ask God, allow her to bring your word, God, on this Avila ministry too, Lord. We ask God to bless Sister Carla, Lord. We ask God to watch over her, Lord. We ask God to allow Sister Carla, God, on Sabbath, Lord, to bring a powerful message, God, on the prayer line, God. God, we ask God to watch over Sister Carla, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. Strengthen Sister Carla, God. God, watch over Sister Carla, Lord. God, I want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Carla, Lord. Bless her, God. Bless her, Lord, in the mockery, God. Break every chain for her, Lord. Break every chain for her daughter, God. Break every chain for her son, God. God, we want to lift up Amanda to you, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Nicholas to you, Lord. Bless them, God, in the mockery, Lord. Watch over them, God. Strengthen them, Lord. God, we want to lift up every family to you, Lord. Bless Sister Stephanie, too, Lord. Watch over Sister Stephanie, God. KJ and Kaja, Lord. We ask God to watch over them, Lord. God, you're able, God, to do all things, God. God, we ask God, allow Sister Carla too, Lord, on the Sabbath, God, on Saturdays too, Lord, to take the Bible study, God, with Sister Stephanie, Lord. We ask God to knock the door in her heart, Lord. Allow her to come, God, and chat in tube line, Lord. Allow Sister Carla, Lord, to come in the prayer line, Lord. We ask God, allow Sister Miola, God, to give her the information, God, on the Bible study, Lord. Child and tube line, Lord. Strengthen Sister Carla, Lord. Watch over her, Lord. Strengthen her, Lord. Deliver Sister Carla, God, in the mighty name of Jesus,
Amen.
Lord. Deliver her, God. Deliver Sister Power, Lord. Deliver Sister Power, God. Bless Sister Power, God. I want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Power, God, in Jamaica, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Bless Sister Power, Lord. Break every chain for Sister Power, God. Break every chain for every single one of us, God. Watch over Sister Power, God. Watch over everyone, God. God, in the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Bless Sister Tamiko, Lord. Bless
Amen.
Her, God. Bless her, God. God,
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen,
amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Eli, for just lifting all your brothers and sisters up. Thank you. May God continue to bless you. We thank our brother. And we have our next caller. We're going to open the line for 518-744. You're opening your line. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Leola. Yes, thank you for opening the line. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York. And just praising the Lord today. And that was just a powerful prayer by Brother Eli. And I just like to thank him for that prayer. Brother Eli is mighty in prayer. And just, you know what, we need that today because devil is out there trying to get us. He's working very hard. You know what? God is working much harder for each one of us. So I'm just grateful for the prayers. And let's get on the prayer line. Just want to lift up my young friend John. I asked for prayer for John before. John is a special young man. He was diagnosed with Asperger's when he was a very young man. He had issues in life, and but he is always coming over and talking to me about different things, and I just lift him up in prayer, John. He likes to read about the Bible. He doesn't like to read the Bible as such, and I'm trying to convince him that we need to read the Bible, not just about the Bible, what other people say about it, because there is power in the Scripture. It's the living Word. Brother Eli mentioned this. The word is called the living word because when we take it into us, it changes us. It comes and lives in our very being. So I had a few texts here, brothers and sisters, that I wanted to share. And this is First Peter. My wife and I were looking at some verses a little bit ago, and they talked a lot about conversation, and this is one of them. There are like four different verses we looked at, and this one here is, talks about your conversations be holy, and in Proverbs and also Psalms and Corinthians it talks about holy conversation. So I just wanted to read this to the brothers and sisters. It goes along with what Sister Carla was talking about and Iliola. So First Peter chapter 1. Actually, we'll start with verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Christ. So when he says, gird up the loins of your mind, he's talking about back in those days when if somebody had to run, they would have to pull up their, they had robes that they wore that were long and flowing. They would have to pull up those robes and to be able to run or to walk very fast. And so he's telling us, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. We could say sober as in not partaking of alcohol, but I think he's talking about, I can't think of the word that I'm looking for. But be intentional about everything that we do. Okay? And we have hope for the grace that is to be ours when Jesus comes to take us home. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Here is this verse that I was talking about. So God who has called us is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. So he equates being holy with our conversation. So conversation is very important. And if you are called, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Here we go again with the conversation, same conversations which you received by tradition from your fathers. So sometimes the things we have learned as we are growing up are not always what we need to be considering in our minds. We need to move on to the things of Christ. but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So I'm going to stop there. So our faith and hope is in God, but God raised up Christ, okay, from the dead, gave him glory, so that we would see that, and our faith and hope would be in him. So let us keep our faith and hope in God at all times. Let us keep our conversations holy as God is holy. Okay, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Let us remember that as we are out there witnessing, as we are talking with people, when we are at church, when we are at work, no matter where we are, we need to ask God to keep our tongue for us so that our conversation will be holy, that people will see that. So I just wanted to leave that with my brothers and sisters. Please pray for me and my family. Ashley, I have not heard from her. Recently, the last time I heard from her, she was in rehab again in Albany. She was down in New York City. She is up in Albany now in rehab again. I heard from someone. I have not talked to her, so she does not have a phone line right now. But please pray for her and each one of my children and grandchildren, too. I had one of my granddaughters here this week on Sabbath. And it was just a wonderful time because she just loves the songs in Sabbath school. She repeats them. She sings them. She's just so excited about God. So just please pray for my family, and I will continue to pray for my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening my line.
Thank you, Brother Reagan.
Amen.
Brother Reagan, you mentioned a gentleman named that was John, you said?
John, yes. He's
John. Okay.
He's my closest neighbor. He's a young friend of mine, and he comes over and talks to me quite often. But I have a hard time getting him to read the Bible. He wants to read about it, but not read the Bible itself. So just pray that God will convict him to read the Bible, not about it.
Amen. Amen. Will do. Will do, Brother Rick. Yeah, we're just going to lift that up in prayer because you asked, and we would like to ask God now for your request.
Amen.
So let us go in a prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, we come before you, Father, with a request from your Son. Father, he is talking and witnessing to a young man, his neighbor. And, dear Father, you want us to be the good example for our neighbors and friends and families. And now, Father, as Brother Rick, your servant, is there talking with him, Father, pouring out some wisdom to him, Father, we want to ask, as Brother Eli just got through praying, Father, we ask him that you open up his eyes, Father, that he can study your word. And you will make sense. You will allow the Holy Spirit to work in him and do the work. Because Christ said that if he didn't go away, he couldn't send the Holy Spirit. But he did. And he said the Holy Spirit is going to do the work. So, Father, we pray that he receive the good counsel, Father, that he could understand. Studying the word of God, help us to be peaceful, help us to be calm, help us to be patient. Oh, it help us, Father. So, Father, we just praying and lifting up John to you to help him to study your word, Father. And, Lord, take verse by verse. He don't have to read a whole page. Father, if he just take one verse at a time, Father, and meditate upon it and talk to the Lord about it. The Lord will open up some understanding for our friend, for our brother. And, Father, we ask that you will help him. Help him, Father, in the time of his need. Lord. I know we all need you right now. So we plead for that brother, that that young man, that he would talk to you and that he will come to you, Father, humble himself and seek you, Father, with all his heart and ask you for forgiveness so he can confess and he can ask you, Father, for that wisdom that he stands in need of. And, Father, I thank you so much for our brothers and sisters on this prayer line, that, Father, that we learn together, that we sow together. And now, Father, as we are out there ministering to your word, Father, we all going to reap this benefit one day, because God said if we sow, we going to reap. So, Father, we want to reap heaven. We want heaven be ours. So, Father, please help us to sow your word into the field and that all people would be blessed and they would gain that victory from God. Oh, Father, forgive us of our weakness and our slackness. But, Father, we pray for all of us that's lacking. Oh, Father, thank you right now for the blessing. We ask already, Brother Eli has prayed many prayers, and we second that prayer as he say, pray for Sister Ashley. And, Father, we know that you have and you see with your daughter and what is going on in her life. You said a little while, just a little while, and we gonna all know. So, Father, as Sister Ashley and her father don't know, but you said you know all about her. So, Father, we leaving her in your hands because we know if we hear nothing, Father, that's good news. And we ask that you continually to work on her heart and lead and guide her. And we thank you. We want to thank you for everything on this prayer line. And we ask all this as you continue to bless Brother Rick and all the great things that he's doing in each and every one of us, Lord Father. So thank you once again. And even blessing Sister Carla in her ministry, even at that home that she attends to, I'm asking that you protect her because she's among some people that's mental illness and so many different spirits and things like that, Father. So we just ask to plead the blood over her to protect her and keep her amongst all these people she come near. So thank you so much, Father. And even we plead that blood over Sister Powell because Sister Powell is dealing with different spirits. You know, Lord, it's so many things, but praise be to God that he protect us all, and he keeps us. And we thank you once again. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Amen. So, as we continue, we're going to see if there's anyone else here that would like to share. Right now, there's no one that wants to share, but we want to thank everyone for joining the prayer line this evening, because we know that God has a blessing in for you. The brother Akeem will be bringing us the word tonight. He's not on just yet, but he will be bringing us the word as we all are here to listen and just keep it in prayer to pray for him as he bring the word of God. And most of all, we want to learn what Christ said to us. He says that it's things that we need to continue to hear, because the Bible says repetition deepens the impression. So if we continue to hear about these main things, the spirit in the dead, the know that the spirit in the dead, that the dead know nothing, that they're going to present, that the evil one going to present himself as our loved ones and all these things. And then we got to understand the mark of the beast and how that would take place. All these things, brothers and sisters, will come to pass. Because Christ's second coming, he say he's going to come in the clouds. And a lot of people teach that it's a secret rapture. It is nothing secret about that thunder and that lightning or that noise that gonna from above. So we praise God, and we need to tell people this. Ain't no secret. He ain't coming to take one and leave another. But brothers and sisters, as the Bible says, that he's coming as a thief of the night, and we got to be ready. So I just want to thank God for this prayer line, because as we on this prayer line speak the truth, and we pray, Father, if there's anything that we're not speaking, help us. Give us wisdom. Give us understanding, because we want people to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. Amen? And I just want to thank God for what he's doing. So we're going to ask Sister Powell to give us another prayer, because we are indeed need a prayer. So Sister Powell, there's no one else. Hands is up. And you can give us another prayer and lift up the prayer line again and the mission in Louisiana. Also, Brother Akeem, that the word of God will be preached in season and out of season, because we don't need to be hearing no smooth message. We need to be hearing how to change our life. Amen? So let me open. Oh, Sister Powell, your line is already open, and you can lift up prayer.
Okay. Yes.
Amen?
Yes, for us, we must. Yes. Again, this is an important part that each and every one of us can take as we join our prayer line, and we heard all the various requests that is offered by our brothers and sisters. Also heard the word of God have been mentioned in both the Bible and spiritual prophecy. And God wants us to shine our light wherever we go. We heard about the Noah in that first generation, what took place, and we saw what happened, and we also learned about that same generation, what they have done worse, and we also saw what happened, and our generation now is actually following the same thing. So let us pray that God will pour out his Holy Spirit upon each heart, that we will be able to be doers of his word and also to go and share with others. So we are asking our brothers and sisters on this line tonight to sincere bow their head and ask the Lord that we can surrender all to thee, to him, and that we can offer a word of prayer on behalf of our brothers and sisters, this request is. All right, giving you a little minute that you can focus yourself, and then I will come in, because the next voice you will hear, I think, is the speaker, Brother Aki. Most righteous and eternal Father, you are God and God alone. We are here this evening to give you thanks and praises for all the blessings that you have poured out upon your sons and your daughter. We are asking you, Lord, to forgive us of all our many sins. Wash us and cleanse us and allow us to be white as snow, because we are asking you, Lord, as we all come to you in prayer on behalf of all these requests, Lord, we ask you to wash us so that our prayer will be answered and will be heard. Heavenly Father, you said without prayer, it is impossible for us to please you. You said prayer, Lord, in your word, is the channel in which to reach you. You said without prayer and fasting, Lord, you will not hear from us, and our heart have to be humble for you to hear. So tonight, we come on bending knee and bowed head, presenting, Lord, ourselves to you. Now, dear Lord, we want to thank you to be our Father. We want to thank you for loving us. We want to thank you for your words that you have given unto us from creation up to now till the last moment of revelation that you have given to your servant John to tell us, to warn us of things that's supposed to happen. We have saw, Lord Jesus, that all these things happening rapidly, Lord, and we thank you for these men servant, dear Lord, who give their life for you to be teaching, Lord, your words and to break it down so that we can understand this present truth for this time. We have heard a while ago our dear servant, Sister Leola, was speaking about the second coming of Christ, so you going to come, that every eyes shall behold you and that your feet will not touch the ground. We have heard our dear servant spoke about, Lord, spiritualism, the state of the dead, that the devil will bring back our loved one and to let her know that the Sabbath is changed to Sunday. We do know that we was warned in your word that it's going to happen. We have heard, dear Lord, that we have to repent from our sin, get victory over our sin, so that we can enter into the eternal rest. We have heard about the judgment that you are in the most holy sanctuary interceding with that book of life open, and our name have been investigating, dear Lord. Please, Lord, have mercy upon your children and save us, Lord. We have heard about the national Sunday law, dear Lord, that the Sabbath will be changed to Sunday, and that the mark of the beast will come is either you reject or you accept, Lord. All these we have been studying. Father, we have a message, everlasting gospel, the three angel message that you have given unto the world. They change it to the three cosmic message. You gave us three angel message. They change it to cosmic message. Heavenly Father, your words have been changed, but you never change your words, and you will never change. So we want to thank
Amen.
You, Lord, for the light that you have given unto us. We want to thank you for your men servant that came daily, minutely, hourly, preaching and presenting your truth. We want to thank you for your living word that you said we have to depend upon your words, Lord. Heavenly Father, we know, dear Lord, that the whole world is wandering after the beast, Lord,
yes,
but we are
Lord.
Asking you this moment, they are your children, dear Lord, and allow the light to shine with them that they will not wander after the beast, but they will wander after you so that they want to seek you. And you said, if you want, you search for me, you can find me. So, Lord, we present the world to you at this time. Now, dear Lord, we come to you, Lord, for Advent Light, brothers and sisters, and all the requests have been gone up to you. We heard about the neighbor, Brother Elder Rick. Lord, we're studying with Brother John. Father, we thank you, dear Father, that the light that Brother Rick have, he will show and teach, Lord, one by one, Lord, one by one word in the scripture, so that Brother John will receive it with power and that he too will accept you. We want to thank you for him and also his family. Send your angels to watch over him. And we lift up Sister Rick to you, Ashley and the other children and the grandchildren, Brother Rick Church, Greensville Church, Lord. We lift it up to you and ever brothers and sister, dear Lord, as they do your will. Father, we present to you, Father, again, Lord, a speaker. You know everything about the speaker. Use him mightily as he bring the words to us, fresh bread from heaven, and that we will receive it through the Holy Spirit and not receive it alone, but also be a doer. We want to thank you for those words of light. We want to thank you for the words of encouragement. We want to thank you for the words, because this word brings power to our soul so that we too can run to and fro with this message, this light, this truth to the world, Lord. Heavenly Fathers, we present the evangelism that will be going on in June. I'm asking you, Lord, in Louisiana to prepare on the way, make the pathway straight, let the people be ready that when the word come to them, that they will receive it freely. As you say, freely give. You know, it will be freely give. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, to allow them to receive it freely. Lord, we just want to thank you. We ask you, Lord, Jarvis, we place him and all the others and Ashley to you this day. Lord, we have a mouth and words to say thank you because, Lord, you have been protecting them even though they are out there on the street. You have been protecting them. You have been keeping them. And, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Continue to bless this line. Pour your Holy Spirit upon this line. Allow this line, dear Lord, to be a light, Lord. I feel within myself that it is the longest line in prayer, Lord Jesus, to share the gospel message on to the world. And I'm asking you, every brothers and sister that used to be on this line, we lift them up to you wherever they are. We ask you to send your angels to them. Bless us this day, dear Lord, as we go into the sermon, and help us to be faithful. Thank you for everything you have done, for hearing and answer our cry in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Brother Akeem have not joined us just yet. He said he will be here, so he should be with us in a second. And as Sister Power prayed, my sisters and brothers, we see that the times are near. As Sister Power was speaking to us earlier, they're talking about, I hear about this, how they're talking about feeding instead of, they want to get rid of, don't want people to plant their food. They're going to confiscate your seeds and take away, want to jail you because you plant in a garden, and but yet they want to feed you bugs and all these just disgusting things. And I'm telling, the world is just evil. And this evil will not stop just because people saying we will not take this. They have all the control. So these things will continue, brothers and sisters, and we just got to pray. We got to be in prayer. And as God is seeing all this evil in this world, we just got to talk to him. Because you know how the children of Israel plead before him? There was a certain time God said, now I'm ready to do something about it. God got his timing that he would do something about this evil. So we got to just trust him. And as Sister Cole was saying earlier, we got to go through some hardship through this, and we're going to have to be overcomers by God's grace. So I just want to thank God for his blessing and what he would do for us. Because, and you know, I've always heard the only the strong survive. And I pray that, Father, help all of us to be strong. Help us practice what we need to do, because when the test comes, only at that time we're going to have to be we're going to have to be strong. We're going to have to stand for Christ. So I just want to play a song right now for Brother Akeem. He should be with us in another couple of minutes, and I'm just going to play Listen to the Song. Sister Powell?
Oh, hello? Shit.
Yes, Sister Powell? Can you hear me?
Uh-huh. Yes,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes. So I just wanted to share that, but I would like to play a song and a meditation. Oh, I mentioned to Brother Eli, he was saying something. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the line for Brother Eli because we want to keep our word. And Brother Eli, the song, choose a song. And, you know, so you can, we're going to open the line so you can bring us the song. Amen. Okay, we're going to open your line and you can sing the song before Brother Akeem comes. Brother Eli.
Amen. Yeah, can you hear me, Sister Miola?
Yes, we can hear you.
Amen. Sister Miola, I go bless Sister Powell with a song, and I go bless Brother Akeem with a song, and I go bless Sister Carla with a song. I hope Sister Carla sing with me, Sister Miola, everyone on this prayer line. Let's sing, Sister Miola. Hide me, God, under your wing. Cover me, God. Cover me under your wing. Sister Viola, sing Sister Carla, under Father, you are a bit away. Father, you are a bit away. Father, you are God, I will be still for you, our God. Sing it, Sister Viola, sing it, what I give. Cover me under your wing. Sister Power, say Sister Power. Father, you are a bit Italy. Father, you are in love. Father, you are victory. See, think of this, Sister Kyle, with all your heart. I will be still, for you are God. Father, you are a victory. Father, you are a victory. I will be still, for you are God. I will be still, for you are God. Sing it one more time, Sister Viola. Father, you are victory. Father, you are a victory. Father, you are a victory. I will be still, for you are God. I will be still. And I'll just cut it off.
Once again, for the opportunity to speak. Today, we're going into the subject of Revelation chapter 6. We are going to verse 9. We covered seals 1, 2, 3, and 4. Now we're going into seal 5. And as we cover this, you will see it's very interesting that in these subjects, as we cover the seals, you'll see that there are doctrines that are many times covered in different subjects of Revelation. And this is one of the subjects, and this is one of the seals in which we would see that very example. And so let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you will guide us, bless us, and keep us, and give us wisdom and understanding as we study your word, Lord. I pray and I ask these things, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, so the fifth seal goes as follows. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. So let's break this down. As we've been covering over the past few Sundays, one of the things that I wanted to reiterate to us is that in order to understand these subjects, truly, friends, we must be serious readers and students. Many people, they come with new understandings, but yet they have not tested them against the old landmarks. And it is not that we won't understand more things as time goes forward, but it is to understand that that which we uncover as we go forward in history, an ever-unfolding scroll, inspiration calls it, it is not that that which is unfolded will contradict that which has already been laid down. That's why we have to be careful to be students of that which has been given. And sometimes there are things that may be fine-tuned and tweaked, and greater understandings that may come upon things that were not landmarks. And in those things, we grow and we grow into a deeper understanding. So this is why for each of the seals that we've been covering, I've been giving you guys things that you can, mentioning at least, things that can be read and scanned, volumes 1 and 2 by C. Mervyn Maxwell, books like The Great Controversy, which covers the history, actually, of the seals without saying that. Because as we've seen with the seals, it covers from the time of the first century church going all the way to the beyond the second coming, actually, which means it covers the history of the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh seals without calling it the seals. As we found out, we're going from the time of the first century church to the time of the compromises that began to creep into the church, to the time of the formation of the Church of Rome, to the persecutions that took place. Today we're going to begin to go into the aspects of the Reformation that took place, and then even beyond as we continue to study all the way to the Second Coming. And so once you read The Great Controversy, you're actually reading about the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh seals without it saying that. And so hence, it is good for us to read these things. Another book is The Prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. The Prophecies of Daniel and the Revelation, written by Uriah Smith. And also, the last book that I also have been recommending to you all is the book Evidence from William Miller. Evidence from Scripture and History of the Second Coming of Christ. Those are good books to get your hands on. Very powerful breakdowns of the subjects in the book of Revelation, covered in the book of Revelation, and explaining them verse by verse, phrase by phrase. It is crucial that we read, so that if we try to build, we will build properly and not just say, hey, this is what this is or this is what that is, without having the proper foundation. So as we go into this topic now, it states here, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. So far, we have covered the first seal, spanning from 31 to 100 AD. Second seal, spanning from 100 to 313 AD. third seal spanning from 313 to the establishment, the full supremacy of the papacy to 538. So 313 to 538 AD is the third seal. And the fourth seal from 538, time when the papacy's supremacy was established, to 1517. That is the beginning of the Reformation. Now, something to keep in mind is that when we're looking at the third, especially the third through the fifth seal, we see the beginnings of a compromise that led to the establishment of the papacy. The reason that we can be sure that the papacy would cover more than just one seal, as we look at history, is because the papacy ruled and had supremacy for over a millennium, 1,260 years to be exact. And so as we're covering the third, the fourth, the fifth seal, we're looking at the rise and ultimate establishment of the papacy and the continuation of its power to 1798. And during that time, it's no wonder that it says here, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Because you remember what happened during the time that the papacy established itself in 538 all the way to about the late 1700s. What we saw is that not only was there corruption and apostasy, which led to the formation of the papacy, but the result of that corruption and apostasy was that men in the name of God killed other people that did not go along with the traditions of men and that contradicted the scriptures. This is one of the things that Uriah Smith mentions in Daniel and Revelation, page 432. It seems consistent, he says, that this seal, like all the others, should cover a period of time and that the date of its application cannot be mistaken if the preceding seals have been rightly located. Following the period of the papal persecution, the time covered by this seal would begin with the Reformation, or would begin when the Reformation began to undermine the papal fabrication and restrain the persecuting power of the Roman Catholic Church. This is the time period that we're looking at. In 1517 onward, a time when the Protestant Reformation began to rise and take hold of Western Europe, and the result was that many more people died. But as a result of their death, through their sacrifice, men and women and children became more knowledgeable of the scriptures. Because you had men like Martin Luther, who, though not a martyr, was intensely persecuted. You had men like Martin Luther, like Calvin later on. You had Zwingli and many others that stood for the faith. And you think of men like Martin Luther, who stood in the Diet of Worms, and as he gave his testimony, speaking and saying that there were things that, yes, he should not have written that were more on the level of defamation of character, and he apologized for those things. But on the other hand, he could not recant his writings themselves. Why? Because he knew that he was standing upon the authority of God's word. And therefore, he said the famous statement, here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God. And so as a result of his witness, and then he literally walked out of that court and was taken captive and was placed in hiding for his own protection. And as he was hiding out, friends, it was so powerful because he began to write tract upon tract upon tract upon tract. And what was the result? These tracts went out before the people of Western Europe. And as it went out, what happened, friends? As it went out to the people, friends, the Catholic, it was illuminating the minds of the people concerning the truth that the Catholic Church was the Antichrist, concerning their apostasy from truth and the Word of God. And as this was happening, the papacy was wondering, where is this coming from? Where is this coming from? Because Luther was in hiding. And he was being protected by leaders in Europe. And this is why I say to us, friends, do not be afraid. Our work, friends, is not just to reach, in standing for the word of God, it is not just to reach the poor. It is to reach, we are told in Ministry of Healing, we are told in the book Evangelism, that Jesus made it his studied aim to reach the rich, to reach the wealthy classes. Ellen White tells us that, why was this so? Ellen White tells us that as we are to repeat this work in our time, She says, because these men are men and women, are men and women of means. They have the resources that they, if they are converted by tact and wisdom, can bring their resources into the church and begin to support the church and actually, in certain instances, even protect the church. This is why, friends, don't think, oh, because I must stand for the word of God, no way you compromise. But friends, there is a work that God would bring worldlings into this church, transform their hearts, and cause them to be a form of protection for God's people in times of crisis. We had this situation, we had that kind of situation when it came to Jesus himself. The Bible actually tells us that because Nicodemus and men that sided with Jesus in the courts of the Sanhedrin, because they sided with him, friends, they stood and actually protected him, delaying his arrest and his ultimate death until the very time that prophecy had foretold that it should happen. So there were men in the courts that God worked to actually protect Christ in his ministry. It was the same with Luther, that there were men that sided with him, leaders in Western Europe that actually sided with him and protected him, even to the point of hiding him away, giving him time to write these tracts, the papacy not knowing where these tracts were coming from. The result was that the minds of the people were illuminated. Many people took up these tracts, believed on the truths that were hidden therein, and were willing to give their lives for the truths that were there. And ultimately, they did give their lives, friends. Many souls died. Many people died for standing upon the truth in the time of the Reformation. Luther didn't. And ultimately, friends, during that time, he even translated huge portions of Scripture. I believe it was even the New Testament, if I'm not mistaken. Translated and brought before the very people that had protected him, that they can have the Word of God. In light of the printing press, that truth spread even further. People were able to get the word of God into their hands. And many standing upon that word were slain. Hence we read in verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. This is during, so the fifth seal is taking place during the time of the Reformation. The altar here mentioned cannot be the altar of incense, because, friends, the altar of incense is in heaven. The altar that we are talking about here, the souls that are dying, are people that are on earth, that are dying during the time of the Reformation. Therefore, the altar here is the altar of sacrifice, located in the courtyard which represented earth. It says, in the testimony which they held, because where are these martyrdoms happening? On earth. It says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, friends, that should remind you of a certain text that we find in the book of Genesis, and I believe it's chapter 4, and it says here, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Do you see it? So in other words, Cain killed Abel unjustly. God personified the blood of Abel and said, I hear your blood, the voice of your brother's blood. Does blood cry? No, it doesn't. But what God is doing here is what is called personification, giving an object that is inanimate human attributes, so, or human abilities. So what is blood doing in this moment? Because the one that was killed unjustly, it gives the idea of the blood crying out for what? For justice. In other words, these souls under the altar crying out to God, it's a symbol that these people die during the time of the Reformation unjustly. Deaths. That's what they died. Hence, they are due for justice. And so hence, it gives the idea that they are crying out for vengeance. How long before you avenge our blood, Lord? We have been killed unjustly. So it's not that these people are literally alive. No, they're dead. And this is where the subject of this comes in. And I'll read this to you. This is from Adam Clark in his commentary on the New Testament, volume 1, page 995. Speaking of the altar, he says, a symbolic vision was exhibited in which he, John, saw an altar, and under it the souls of these who had been slain for the word of God, martyred for their attachment to Christianity, are represented as being newly slain as victims to idolatry and superstition. The altar is upon the earth, not in heaven. Also, we looked at Genesis chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, speaking about Abel's blood crying out, in a sense, for justice, because Abel was slain unjustly. So were these souls during the Reformation. Many of us have heard of the numbers before that have been documented. Between 50 to 100 million people died for their faith during the time of the Reformation, because they stood until finally the gospel began to take hold of leaders in Western Europe, kings and dukes and princes, and then things began to change. But it was not immediate, friends. It took many years for things to gradually shift to the point where we're going to learn in the next seal that the persecution began to lessen. So the persecution didn't end in 1798. The supremacy of the papacy did. But the persecution began to lessen before 1798, we're going to find out. So the time of the papacy supremacy ended was 1798. But the time of the persecution, papacy's persecution, began to lessen even before 1790. I hope that makes sense. So in light of this, why is this so important? Because many people look at these souls under the altar as literal. They think, okay, these are literal souls under the altar, and that's why it's vital for us to understand the truth concerning death. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 5, for the living know that they will die. So those who are alive, they know that there's coming a day that unless Jesus comes in their lifetime, it's coming a day that they will die. Listen to what the Bible says next. But the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So what is the idea that the Bible is bringing out here? The truth that the Bible is bringing forth is that those who are dead have no consciousness. They know how many things? Not one thing. In other words, they cease to exist at that moment. And so in light of this, many other Bible verses brings this forward as well. I believe it's Psalms chapter 115. And you could look at verse 17. The Bible says, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord for this from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Forevermore meaning in this life. And you can find that even in the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon even talks about this statement of forevermore in the specific context of meaning in this life. There are times when forevermore means eternity, but it is to look at it in its context. And so when you look at that, you realize, whoa, so the dead are not even in heaven. Even if they've accepted Jesus, they're not in heaven praising God right now. Hence the necessity of the resurrection. This is why when Jesus comes, he's raising people from the dead. Why? Because they were resting in their graves. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7 tells us the process. It tells us the process of death. So when you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it tells us the process of how God brought us to life. The breath of life, that is the spark of life, and the dust of the earth, an inanimate object, when they came together, what happened? Life was the result. Man came to life. But what happens when man dies? Genesis chapter 12 and verse 7, it tells us this, the following. It says, then shall the dust, this is speaking of death, the context here is speaking of when people grow old and finally die, It says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit. Now, when you look at that word spirit in the original Hebrew language, it is actually the same as the word breath in this context. It says, and the breath or the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. All right? Then he says, vanity of vanity, say the preacher, all is vanity. So the understanding is that when we were brought to life, when mankind was created, how did it happen? The breath of life or the spark of life, not a living thing or a ghost, but the spark of life, once it interacted with the dust of the earth, man became, the Bible says, a living soul. So what is a soul then? A soul is the combination of the breath of life, that's the spark of life, and the dust of the earth. If you have the dust of the earth but do not have the breath of life, all you have is a mannequin. All you have is flesh or dust. You do not have a soul. If you have the breath of life but no dust of the earth, you do not have a soul. What does the Bible say a soul actually is? It is the combination of the breath of life and the dust of the earth. That is what a soul is according to Genesis 2:7. Those two things combined. So therefore, what is a soul? A soul is not something that you have in you, some ghost fluttering around in you. Rather, a soul is what you are. A soul is a living, breathing, vibrant human being. And sometimes you heard people say it back in the day when they go to a place and they expected a lot of people and no one was there once they get home. And someone asked them, how did it go? They said, there was not a soul there. What are they talking about? They're talking about ghosts. They're talking about people. It is the same way that the scripture views a soul. A soul is not that which is in you that comes out of you at death. The soul is who you are. It is a human being. A living person. And so what happens when we die? The spark of life goes back to God who gave it. The next time that spark of life, friends, interacts with dust is at the second coming. When Jesus returns in power and glory and he resurrects those who have trusted in him across the ages, when he gives them new bodies, what happens now? That same breath that went back to him at death now comes and interacts with the human body again. And that person wakes up again. And there will be reunions, those that we have been separated from in this lifetime. Friends, it will take place again. It is coming. As sure as Jesus rose from the dead, that is the seal. Those who have believed in him will also rise again from the dead. So there's only one extra component to the breath of life. When it goes back to God. This is why when those who rise from the dead rise at the second coming, this is why it's almost like they just pick up again right from where they left off. The reason is, how can they do that? How can it just be that, whoa, okay, I'm alive again, it's me. And you just remember everything as it once was, but now you have a resurrected body like your Lord, you will never die again, but it's the same person waking up that went to sleep in death. How can that be? It is because when the person dies, there's an extra component now that is in that breath that goes back to God. The extra component is the character. The character, once the breath of life interacts with the dust of the earth, and a human being now, the person now comes to life in the form of a child, that is a blank slate. The character has not yet formed, or you could say that there were aspects of it forming in the womb, but not until the breath and the body combine. But once that happens now, on a blank slate, the character begins to form. And throughout our lives, it forms. And so once we dies, that character now goes back. It's almost like some of you remember the concept of a floppy disk. Some of you remember that when you used to have computers and you have a floppy disk, you have a computer, you have the motherboard, and you put the floppy disk into the computer. As you put the floppy disk in there, everything you begin, you put a blank floppy disk, you get a brand new floppy disk, you insert it into the computer, and as you do that, you open the Word document and you begin to type. And once you begin to type, you finish the document. Let's say you were doing a project, you finish the document, and you save it. And then what happens? You click the button at the bottom, and the floppy disk comes back out. But the floppy disk is a little different. Now it has on it the documents that you saved, the project that you worked on and completed. And so once you extract that floppy disk from the computer, it is the same thing that happens. That floppy disk is in your hand. You can do nothing with it until it interacts with the computer again. The only way that you're going to get access to the document that you left off from working on is that it has to go back into the computer. In the same way, friends, the only way that the soul can then exist again is that the breath of life, that floppy disk with the character in it now, interacts with the human body again. And that is the resurrection. That takes place at the resurrection. This is how we know, according to scripture, there is no consciousness at death. The consciousness happens again when Christ returns. Hence, those souls under the altar in Genesis chapter 6, from verse 11, verses 10 and 11, I believe, those souls under the altar are the symbols. It's a symbol of the people that have died unjust deaths and are due for justice. That's why it says they were crying out. Not that there are literally souls in heaven who are under some altar that are crying out for vengeance. No, friends. These are the symbols of those who are martyrs. They are unconscious and asleep now, waiting the resurrection. And Christ says, I will give them white robes. In other words, white symbolizing righteousness, symbolizing vindication, that one day God will bring about justice for these souls. They must only wait until the fullness of the martyrs are complete. And when are the fullness of the martyrs complete? Friends, it's very interesting. The Bible tells us when. The time when the martyrs will be complete is the time when probation closes. Because from the time probation closes, no one will ever die for their faith again. There will be no necessity of it because everyone would have made their decision. So I pray that this made sense to us, friends. This is this is one of the ways to put it. This announcement of the giving of the white robes means that each persevering believer receives divine vindication. God will address their unjust deaths and bring justice. Each of them is judged as being an overcomer and worthy of the white robe. This symbol was also part of the promise to the church of Sardis. So the time of the fourth seal is synonymous with the time of the fifth church. Or the time of the fifth seal is synonymous with the time of the fifth church. Sardis, the fifth church, matches the fifth seal. So I pray that made sense, friends, and this time spans from 1517, the time of the Reformation beginning, to the time of 1755. And we're going to find out why when we cover the sixth seal. I pray that this made sense. Let us have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray that these things made sense, Lord. That we understand that we have a more sure word of prophecy, a chart pointing out every waymark in the heavenward journey. We have your word. Continue to guide us, Lord, and help us to be faithful, whether we shall live till you come or whether we shall be martyrs, or however things happen. May we be faithful to you, Lord. May we be faithful and ultimately be saved in your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, was a timely message, a message that the Holy Spirit has to be here because we begin studying, and as Sister Powell brought her message, how she is finished the work in Jamaica, Brother Akeem. She finished the work. She have done a marvelous work in Jamaica with helping the brother to build the poor a home. She went there to clean. She went there to cook, show them how to cook, how to clean. And she did so much work there. She cooked and taught a lot of the brothers and sisters how to help one another. And we just praying that the work continue. And then we read from Maranatha, the work of the youth. And Sister Carla brought a message. And I said, as the Holy Spirit was moving, that you bring this message also to us to close it out. And I'm just so grateful to this prayer line as we hear these timely messages. These messages is preparing us, get us ready, as you just said the last word, how that character has to be fitted. And not only that, the ending it with the closing of probation, and all character has to be right. That white rope, that white remnant, is the righteousness of Christ. All these things is coming together. It has come together so clear. You remember, we couldn't understand these things, but now it's allowing these things to come together. Because you know why? You know why? He said we will understand this later. And now, by God's grace, it all coming together. So we want to thank you tonight, Brother Akeem. And we also is preparing and getting ready for this outreach message in Louisiana. And Brother Rick asked me earlier, I told him I had talked to you about coming down with, and it's, Brother Akeem, this is a work that needed here in Louisiana. They got so many people don't understand God's word, and they need sincere people to talk to them, to teach them and help them understand. And we are gathering, trying to get the number of people that God will use here. So we was asking you, don't give us no answer. You ain't got to give us no answer. All I'm saying is that Brother Rick was asking, and I told him I'd talk to you, and you told me you was going to give a date to give us an answer later. So, but we thank you for this message. Oh, boy, thank you so much. So God bless and continue to pour out these blessings that you can get more light to bring to us. And we are grateful to every time you come to bring. And we praying that God, we have not done anything for you yet, brother. You've been faithful on the prayer line. And we have not blessed you yet with anything. But in due time, God will work it out for you. So you just keep the faith. You keep doing what you're doing. And by God's grace, we hoping you will join us in Louisiana. So we're going to end right here, brothers and sisters, as we have listened to this message, and keep this and let this fund us up on our heart. And we thank Brother Akeem for this blessing. Amen. So once again, Brother Akeem, you have a blessed and peaceful night, and we already have lift you and your family up in prayer. So thank you once again. And we're going to close out with this song, because song that Sister Power and, hold on, let me get it. This is the song. My God, we love this song.